welcome to the Village regular scheduled Village Board meeting October 10th. Roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Gillis.
Here.
Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. Okay, I'd like to ask you to stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and
justice for all. Right. We have citizens' comments, but I think most of it is with the traffic. So if you all will get through the rest of the agenda pretty quick, and then I'll call on your comments at the time we get to that, the new business, which is the the recommendations of the committee, if that's okay. Cool. Just give us a couple minutes to get through the rest of the agenda, and then I'll ask you to come up and speak on behalf of the agenda item. So with that, I'll move on to item four, which is the elected officials' comments and announcements. Bob, last time I can't remember.
Okay, thank you. Good evening. A couple of comments. First of all, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Columbus and Indigenous Peoples Day. And also, I'd like to remind people about the open house at the fire, the open house at the firehouse on Saturday. I was so excited about it, I showed up this Saturday. So they were cleaning up firehouse, Chief, so everything was under control. But I want to remind everybody it's a great community activity, and it's a good thing to bring the kids out to. So look forward to that on Saturday. Other than that, that's all I've got for tonight. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
I also want to wish everyone happy holidays and going forward, because this is a thing of a lot. So wish you very much happy holidays. I did have over the last week, I had the opportunity to attend the Illinois Chamber of Commerce Business Luncheon.
Oh, yeah, good.
And the focus was on energy and sustainability and about a lot of the companies that are desirous of coming into municipalities, but they are looking into seeing what your sustainability practices are, as well as your how you are focusing on the energy in the future. And so I thought our organization or our village fits right in, and I was very happy to hear proudly of it.
Hi, everyone. I drove by the Lake and Lathrop on the way here tonight, and I saw that the sidewalk seems to be open, which is great news. It's probably making a lot of residents happy. Mm-hmm. And did the village do that, or did the developer clean it up?
Yeah, the village affected the work and charged there.
Got it. All right. Well, I'm sure that the residents are very happy. So, step in the right direction. And then I also wanted to ask, the developer was asked to provide a schedule of their work per our agreement, and I think as of last meeting or the last time we asked, we hadn't received one, but I haven't checked the website that shows the status. So can you let us know what that is?
Yep, they have until October 14th.
To give us a schedule?
Give us a schedule, yeah.
So today's the 10th.
Yeah.
All right. And then also the final question on Lake and Lathrop. We had invited them to our board meeting last time. They had not chosen to attend, and I didn't know where that stands. Are we going to continue? I'm hoping that we continue to invite them, or we extended an open invitation. I think it would be nice for our residents and for the board to be able to, you know, hear their input, and for them to be able to hear and input from both residents.
The invitation stands that they're welcome to attend. I did some additional research after the last meeting, and under the terms of the RDA, I can't force them to attend a meeting, but the invitation stands open.
Other than that, I attended the Trinity High School ribbon cutting, as did Lisa and Rez. It was a beautiful day. I think we actually got a little sunburn.
Actually, yes.
Yeah, so, and it was just a lovely presentation, short and sweet, and had a tour as well. And then this weekend I attended the Maywood Fine Arts Pumpkin Patch Parade, which also had a beautiful sunny day. And we, it was very nice that the lemonade, the Bonnie Bray lemonade block donated a check over $44,000 to Maywood Fine Arts, one of their chosen charities this year.
Wow, that's the biggest.
No, it's, well, so in recent years, Lemonade has chosen more than one charity.
Right.
In past year, earlier on, I think they've actually raised more for one charity.
Right.
I don't know what the amount is for Kindness Creators yet. That check has not been revealed yet.
Okay. That's the day that.
Yes, it was a sort of an over, you know, any day.
Very good.
And there were some matching grants.
Oh, oh, that's awesome.
All right, good evening, everyone. Just again, also happy Columbus Day, Indigenous Day. Also acknowledging as well that Trinity's ribbon cutting ceremony is terrific, and actually they did a nice job with the addition they put in. Also, just another reminder, I know the household hazardous due date to make the reservation was today at 5, so hopefully people took advantage of it. But for those of you who have the electronic waste, you still have till October the 12th at 5 p.m. to make the reservation. Waste equipment. Last but not least, I'm not sure we're going to have another meeting before Halloween, so happy Halloween to everyone, and be safe with any candies, and I'm sure the village will send some type
October
of notice on our hours.
We will have October 24th.
Oh, we will. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll just
hang
repeat
on to that
again. Okay. All right. Other than that, thanks. That's it.
Okay. Basically, let me see. On October 1st, I did bike the tour of Proviso. It was really a lot of fun. And then I supported Matt, who did a great job at the booth. And we had a lot of resident interaction from, you know, all the different communities that participated. So it was great to meet everybody. The Trinity Edition ribbon cutting, amazing thing for that school. I can't say enough about it. And we tried to represent the village well.
I know.
Kathy, in your absence. So.
Right.
Well, thank you. You guys did awesome.
We did our best.
Yeah.
I was interviewed by NTV for Elevate discussing the C4 initiative. So it'll be interesting how that goes. It was Zoom interviews, never done anything like that before, but it was really a great experience. So more on that. And last but not least, the Village of River Forest is now officially Soul Smart Silver. So a big thank you to the River Forest Sustainability Commission and the village staff who worked to achieve the certification. That the certification basically signifies that as a village we support, you know, kind of solar power for residents and businesses, and we're trying to make it easier for our residents and businesses to, you know, put solar on their house or on their business, et cetera. So,
yeah, great.
Yay. I'm sure there'll be, you know, some sort of ceremony in the future where we get the plaque and we'll put it up.
Sure.
Kathy, I forgot one point. I wanted to thank, I think Elijah's last day is this
tomorrow.
Week. Is it tomorrow? Okay. I just want to acknowledge Elijah. I know he worked on a number of commissions. He worked on mine, Age Friendly, and I just wanted to wish him the best. He did a great job. He's going to now turn the bat over to Matthew Walsh to help me at least. I'm not sure. I know Elijah also worked on DEI, so I'm sure maybe Erica will say a few words. But Elijah, thank you very much for. Yes, exactly. So Elijah, wish you well, and don't forget to keep in touch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Merry Christmas card.
Yeah.
No, great. Thank
yeah.
you. Yeah. Hi everyone. So I'd like to begin with a land acknowledgement. As we begin today, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day to everyone. I was fortunate enough to be able to
watch from Schiller Park this weekend, a powwow. It's one of the larger powwows in Illinois that happens every year. It was the 69th one, and members from all nations were able to come and share their culture and their regalia, and they had contests for footwork and dancing. They invited folks from Puerto Rico as a cross-cultural exchange. They had Puerto Rican dancers there.
Wow.
They had the Manoy, indigenous folks from New Zealand who participated and represented their nation as well. They had folks from the Western United States, the Apache, who had not come to this event before. And it was really wonderful to just see the difference and be able to hear the different history and why and how they celebrate. Ordinary, and they do it every year, and I encourage everyone else to attend if you're. I think that is it, except for Elijah. I'm so sorry to see you go. Your contributions to the DEI group are insurmountable. Everything that you've done for us, it will live on for a long time in that group and the work that we do here at the table. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll be very short. First of all, happy Indigenous Day as well as Columbus Day. Although in the state of Illinois, the official Indigenous Day is September 30th. The state legislature passed that several years ago, so that it had its real own holiday. So, unfortunately, I got red today in honor of Columbus. But anyway, I want to thank all those that participated in the many events that were around the community, like Trinity and Pumpkin Patch and the Proviso Bike Ride. I missed them all because I was on a 10-day vacation, so I don't have much to report other than thanks to all of you for being part of all of these events. They're so important to our community. So thank you so much, because I know it's a lot to ask for, but it's nice when, and I think they appreciate when we all show up. And Elijah, we will miss you dearly, but understand and appreciate all the work that you did for us here in River Forest, and good luck in your next job and role. You're going to go places. So, okay, with that, I will move on to the consent agenda. Items A through F. Motion, please.
Move to approve the consent agenda's items A through F.
Any questions or comments on these items? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to please read out loud the each item and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, September 26, 2022. B, Village Board of Trustee executive meeting minutes, September 26, 2022. C, a right-of-way encroachment waiver, an agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way with the property owners at 1431 Bonnie Bray Place. D, accounts payable September 2022, $1,580,544.32. E, monthly department reports, September 2022. F, village administrator's report. Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Great. So we'll move on now to the next item, which is 7, which is the recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. And this is where your public comment comes in. So we will start with Robert. Bob, do you want to start the public comment?
Yes.
We normally have public comment. This is the way it works. We have the comments, and then the staff, we'll take any other additional comments.
Okay, but the guy's got to ask. My name is Robert Armalis. I'm from 1501 Bonnie Gray. I'm representative of the Residents Collective Traffic Experience, Northeast Corner. It's our hope we can arrive at a plan of action resolving our issue tonight. Will KLOA be giving up? Will the consultant be giving up?
No, it okay. Will be Jeff.
Okay, so we'll skip that part. Gone through, I think, five meetings now. And there's been a study taken over a small sampling during the peak of Omicron around a county holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's inferred it was done on scientific basis. It's also inferred that we don't have a problem. We have a problem, and I think you've all received letters from residents, comments here tonight. Tell you we got a problem. We don't like it. Study showed 500 cars plus a day on 20 house streets. But problem. Nobody speeding on Greenfield. No, people speed on Greenfield. I've sent some videos today to trustees showing cars passing each other on Lemoyne, double passing. 90,000 pound trucks on Lemoyne, and not just one. Every day. Our study showed that both Greenfield and Lemoyne have a car a minute over a 24-hour period. Given that night's pretty quiet, that's less than a car, like 20 seconds, every car, every 20 seconds during waking hours. Terrible. We have short setbacks in this area. Cars are in our living room. We're going to be told, or we might be told, that possibly parking shuffle, least dependent signage, hundreds of thousands of dollars of bump outs on a bicycle, like oil and vinegar, or an increase in the speed and volume of North Avenue will solve our problems. I don't think that's in anybody. Asking you to reject that. This issue, like science, not just about numbers, about aggressive cut-through driver behavior, resident safety, community quality of life. In that light, our traffic commissioners offered a well-intentioned, incomplete solution that will potentially make things worse. We have it is also incomplete in the sense that little be done now, then somehow we're going to do further study, and somehow we're going to do some more, get some more data. Look, we're living with this now, 35 years behind our neighbors in implementing mitigation, 35 years. Not going to get better, going to get worse, especially when I-290 rebuild goes in and North Avenue will be touted in the press as a alternate route. We need comprehensive solutions that addresses the issue from Greenfield at Thatcher to Harlem and Greenfield and north of there. Every street. Complete solution looks like this. Both Greenfield and Lemoyne need traffic restriction equally applied in some form and preferably in concrete. Explore and implement North Avenue restrictions, including consideration that there are existing north-south cut-through issues on Williams, Monroe, and Jackson. Address athletic field event parking on Greenfield. Implement strong truck restriction and ordinances. Place stop signs where they're needed, not because there's one sign every two block rule. Pedestrians and children rely on those. Implement complete street solutions. Compounds are not complete. I'm asking for the board for aggressive structural traffic mitigation, like our neighboring communities have been continually implementing, that we create a plan tonight to deal with the issue comprehensively and hire professionals to design and implement mitigation addressing the residents' needs, not what the professionals want, what we want. Please do that tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. Chris? I just want to remind the citizen comments that we try to stay within 5 minutes, but so everyone has time to talk. But.
This should be short. Okay. I didn't come very prepared with
with
anything.
We want to hear from everyone.
Okay. 1500 block of William Street. I've got young kids on our block that are here that have a lot of concerns coming off of North Avenue, cutting through caves. There's other, you know, ways to cut through traffic, and I know there's discussions about stop signs. We have not seen anything. I hear lots of brakes and honking because people are not abiding by any brakes. I'm sorry, by any stop signs. So that's a huge concern. And, you know, our kids, I don't trust stop signs, but people are. So I think we need traffic coming from North Harlem. Situation for kids right now, mm-hmm. and blocking traffic coming from North Avenue to William Street because great way, as you know, park. There's Fenwick and other events that highly trafficked area, Concordia as well. So, seeing some sort of solution. Goes down to stop. I don't think stop signs is going to provide any assistance to what's going on right now, maybe speed bumps, but blocking traffic would be year old kids and, you know, with their parents, but, you know, people are flying by, not abiding by the stop sign.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, and please stay for the presentation that Jeff will, because I think you'll glean a few things there too. Ty?
Hi, Aaron Godey, 1500 block of William. Not quite sure what I can add that my neighbor Chris has already said. Traffic seems to be getting worse. Speed seems to be getting worse. It's off-putting when my wife and I are walking to the park that we have to be on such heightened sense of crossing the street with as much speed as we've seen lately, higher traffic. But aside from that, just want to be here in support of this, and I think my neighbor put it perfectly. So I'll keep. Yeah. I'll be concise.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Ty. Gary?
Gary Kagan. I live on Greenfield between Bonnie Bray and William. I've lived there since 2005. I have observed regularly people speeding on Greenfield. I would say that especially during rush hour, both east and west, the sun going east when you're driving east in the morning is blinding, and the same on when you're driving west at close of business. My biggest concern is the left-hand turn from Greenfield onto Harlem. And then the opposite of Oak Park, making the left turn going south on Harlem from Greenfield. I've seen a number of accidents there, and I would urge the council and the commission to revisit that issue.
Sorry. So that ends the citizens' comment. So before we go into Jeff, I want to make sure we get a motion on the table in a second so we can. So. There's four motions. Can we throw them all together?
I think that makes sense.
And, well, thank you.
Now that you challenged me with four motions. Okay, move to approve the ordinances restricting traffic on Lemoyne Street to one-way eastbound between Bonnie Bray and Harlem Avenue to install the right out only curb diverter and install all accompanying signage as proposed, and to move to install a cul-de-sac on Bonnie Bray at the south edge of the east-west alley just south of North Avenue and install the accompanying sign as proposed, and move to install a partial cul-de-sac on the west half of Clinton Place at the south edge of the east and west alley just south of North Avenue and install the accompanying signage as proposed, and to move to approve an ordinance to convert the two-way stop at the intersection of William Street and Moyne Street and the one-way stop at Clinton Place and Greenfield Street to all-way stop intersections and modify the all-way stop at Clinton Place and Lemoyne Street such that only the north-south legs of the intersection are required to stop.
Second.
Okay. All right. So now Jeff is going to present what all these four motions look like on a graph, hopefully.
Good evening. And I'll walk you through kind of a brief history of the Traffic Safety Commission discussions as well, just so we're all on the same page. As you're all aware, the village has completed a traffic study in the northeast corner of town, the areas bound by North Avenue, Harlem, Greenfield, and Lathrop. The village contracted with KLOA, a firm you're all familiar with at this point, to perform the study earlier this year. The impetus for this study was to review the situation up there within the context of cut-through traffic. So we had started to hear some anecdotal evidence that there was an increase in cut-through traffic, and so we entered into this study. The Traffic and Safety Commission discussed the findings and the results of the study at a July 26th and a September 21st meeting earlier this year. At the July 26th meeting, there were a handful of residents that indicated that the data that was collected was not indicative of what they see in the area on a regular basis. So as part of that public discussion, and the commissioners that were present somewhat agreed that they wanted the they wanted KLOA to come back to the commission for a future meeting, the September meeting, with some more substantial traffic modification plan. The initial recommendations that they made were much lighter in nature based on the data that they had collected. So there was a discrepancy between the data that was collected and the recommended improvements versus what the residents were seeing on a regular basis. So at the September 21st meeting, KLOA came back with more substantial improvements. Recommended improvements, and they involved some speed humps and some basically horizontal and vertical curb deflections, speed bumps, and curb bump outs like you would see along Chicago, Lake Street, Madison, things. So we discussed this again at the September 21st meeting with these additional improvement recommendations, and the residents that were present, still felt that these measures did not go far enough in addressing their concerns. So the commission, again, somewhat agreeing with the residents, elected to go further than what the study had recommended by implementing the measures that are here before you this evening. The approach that the Traffic and Safety Commission typically takes is one of an iterative approach. If you do things in a measured manner, they like to see the results of that before diving in. So though they made these recommendations for approval that are before you this evening, they also recommended them on a temporary basis. That allows us as a staff to do is implement them on a much more immediate basis. We can go out and buy these barriers and get things implemented on a much shorter time frame than we would if we're contracting with a consultant for design and having to budget accordingly, which we'll ultimately have to do for permanent installation. But by doing these on a temporary basis, we can roll them out much quicker. It also gives us as an entity some time for soliciting feedback from residents, because though we have heard from several residents that feel that these measures plus more are what's needed up there, there may be others that disagree and don't want to have certain streets blocked off completely. So the commission felt that the approach that they recommended was the optimal one for moving forward here with these improvements. Obviously, we can make additional improvements at additional locations at any point in time, you know, as you see fit, but this is what the commission ultimately recommend. So with that, I'm happy to walk you through each of the recommendation locations, if you will, or
Jeff,
answer any questions.
If you, before you go into that, you might want to also remind the trustees as well as the residents that are here that are what we're doing on a River Forest wide basis.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we are working with a different consultant we're currently negotiating scope and budget for a village-wide traffic study, similar to what we've done up here, but obviously village-wide. There's some other elements that the Traffic and Safety Commission has asked for in terms of creating a toolbox for them, if you will, where as future requests come up at particular intersections or on particular blocks, they have a bit of a rubric to work through themselves that will kind of lead them to an optimal solution. So that is part of an effort that will likely be on the agenda at one of the next immediate board meetings here for you two.
And I'll get you the question. The reason I asked that is to address, I think, Chris and Ty's comments to the board regarding William Street and Monroe Street. It's not that those streets aren't important. It's just it's as though taking sections right now of where we think the biggest issue is what I'm from the traffic and safety, and then from there that will feed into the larger plan that you're working on,
and
the intent.
And William and Monroe are certainly within this area. They're not as close to Harlem, so the perceived issue seems to be related to the congestion associated with North and Harlem and the traffic that backs up along North Avenue, and then you get people bailing out down heading south into the village just to avoid the congestion. So the commission kind of felt like working their way west from Harlem was kind of the approach to take, just because that seemed to be where the bulk of the traffic was. And that's not to say that though William and Monroe aren't addressed in here, that was something it seemed that the Traffic Safety Commission considered. But again, as part of an iterative approach, they didn't feel that hitting all five or whatever from Bonnie to Jackson at that point, and it feel that implementing something at each location was necessary at this moment in time. And again, as part of our village study, that's not to say we can't go get additional traffic counts on William and Monroe after we implement these measures as part of the village-wide traffic study. We could always kind of pull some of this area into the village-wide study as well once these measures are implemented, because, yeah, that might very well change some traffic patterns.
Let me go through you got a question.
Correct.
And that seems.
Yeah, that wasn't my understanding. I don't believe that they were necessarily tabling anything. I think the approach that they took was we're happy to take up any additional intersections, locations that residents are requesting of us. But I didn't necessarily walk away with the understanding that we're going to then go address this street, that street, and the other one at our next meeting. I can certainly circle back with the commission to verify as much.
It sounded like through comments that I heard that the full scope of Greenfield maybe had not been discussed.
Correct.
Correct.
So, yeah, I mean, well, that's a consideration in our discussion for sure. Why don't we go through the four recommendations?
So recommendation number one is Lemoyne and Harlem, essentially. Yeah, these men. So as you can see, that kind of shaded area between Harlem and that first alley west of Harlem, that would all become one way heading eastbound. And we're essentially cutting off all traffic coming into the village onto Lemoyne there. So eastbound can only head southbound. This is similar to what we currently have at Quick in Harlem, as well as Forest and North Avenue. And again, those barricades that I show up in the top left corner would be what staff is kind of considering on this temporary basis, just to implement something on a quick time frame to get out there as physical measures to achieving this.
Can I ask a question about that? So others may have questions as well. There was a no right turn sign on that?
No right turn. Sorry, so that was confusing, and I debated that. It's no right turn for southbound traffic. So it's confusing because it's upside down based on the orientation of the page.
All right, so here's the first recommendation.
Yeah.
What is the impact? Where do we think the traffic? Well, for example, if I'm going southbound on Harlem and I live on the corner of William up to Lemoyne and then back to my house, what is there like adding right in, right out only there?
Here on the point?
Right, yes.
So I think that's what that kind of shows right now,
yeah,
Bob. I actually live on that corner, and so I've been doing what you are talking about for the past couple of weeks, and it's lovely. Exactly. And I have heard feedback from other neighbors of mine who are hesitant to put that, have that be cut off completely. But what they say is safety over anything. And the truth of the matter is, as everyone is saying, is that these cars are constantly turning off. Cars are constantly turning left. Cars are coming from Oak Park because Google tells them to go from Lemoyne on Oak Park to Lemoyne on Harlem. So I think the neighborhood wants it to be safe and wants the best.
Is the one way only that yellow shaded area then?
Yes.
Okay, number one.
You can't come this.
Okay, and I guess I heard one of the residents say that busy going east certain parts and the rush hour part of the day portion, right? Either in the morning or the afternoon.
So if you go down to Greenfield,
Oh, yeah. I thought it was also Lemoyne. I think.
Well,
okay.
You can cut both. Off.
Yeah.
That's the other alternative,
right?
I've been driving the route that Bob was in.
If you can't get in and out.
Yeah. I've gotten other feedback.
And it pushes the cars somewhere.
So it pushed, yeah, so I take Division, then go to William or something else, and then go.
Right.
It's not.
So that's recommendation one is Lemoyne one way with the only right turn.
So that means no
turn. Correct.
Correct. Correct.
That's is that part of our motion, no turning into.
That's all part of this, yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
That's a ideal way to let people leave River Forest is preventing people cutting through, possibly going, blocking them. That will. Let's go through the recommendations and then you'll see the whole. Yeah.
Just one quick. So, what about does this at all affect parking? Are people able to park behind these barriers?
Yeah, so it'll chew up a little bit at the very east end where you see that kind of red. So the red area right off of Harlem there, that weird looking shape, that is what we would envision as the physical barrier. So yes, there would be some, a spot, maybe a couple at the very east end of that block that would be removed. Just
I don't think
to funnel
people like
traffic
to park
down
on that far out anyway.
Right, you're getting pretty close to Harlem at that point anyway.
Jeff, when you see the barrier, I see those.
Correct.
That's the temporary barrier
correct
for now. Okay.
So, again, that would give us some time to get some feedback as well as budget and start working with consultants and do a lot of that legwork.
We got to remember that none of this is budgeted.
I
know.
So
it kind of came up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And there are people that
if we can implement this with temporary measures, and I've done some costing of the barriers that you see in this image, but I don't know if there's a substantial lead time associated with them. Everything's a little wacky right now, but I would hope that we could get these temporary measures in place prior to data collection for the village-wide study, so that if this does throw traffic elsewhere, that it would already be set up to accommodate that, or at least acquire that data accordingly. We have a true reading of where we started prior to all this because we got data with this report. So we have a snapshot before we did anything. If we can implement these at step two and then collect data to see what indirect effect this has on the rest of the village, then everything is sequenced
Jeff,
appropriately.
Why don't we go ahead and finish
sure
the recommendations? Because
sure
all these comments really go for everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Matt, if you could scroll down to number two there for me, please. All right. So here we go to Bonnie Bray, just south of North Avenue. You can see that thick red line there. That's essentially just trying to show that we'd be blocking off the entirety of Bonnie Bray just at the south edge of the alley. So traffic would still be able to come south off of North Avenue, but then it would be stopped at the alley. So it would be forced to travel west or east down the alley, but obviously wouldn't be able to come south into down the rest of that 1500 block of Bonnie Bray. And then if you scroll down just a tiny bit, so this wasn't recommended at the commission, but obviously we'd have to put a dead end sign down at the south end of that block just to inform vehicles that heading north you can't get through there.
Maybe so when they stop right there by the alley and right or left, they go to the next street and then just continue away or
so if they go west,
how about the
Clinton is west, and we'll get that's recommendation number three. There's a partial cul-de-sac recommended there too, so they wouldn't be able to go south at Clinton either.
Is there just curious what the advantages and disadvantages are of having the barrier before the alley or after the alley?
For any traffic, if you're going to move it after the alley, with the point of letting any traffic come down off of North Avenue.
Oh, because then they're just going to take that alley.
Right, and then
right.
they're stuck,
okay.
and then you're kind of in a turnaround position.
Yeah.
At least now there's
yeah.
an avenue for
I
them
guess
to
I was
kind
trying, of... I was thinking of the residents that live there. Alley, but I guess it's sort of your mind.
But keep that in mind for when we look at number three, because that is there. That is a variation of this that might address your concern a little bit better.
How does this compare with Oak Park on North Avenue, where they cut off some of the? They don't go maybe as far as the alley, but I guess
they do. They
okay.
typically do,
okay.
yeah.
Okay.
And they do a lot of what. They do a lot of what we'll see in the next one as well, where there are partial
right.
partial cul-de-sacs.
Okay.
But because of the volume here, I think the commission felt that a more substantial closure at Bonnie Bray, which is closer to the congestion of North and Harlem, was
okay.
was warranted. Do you have something you wanted to say, Commissioner? Kathy.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, they don't, I don't believe... Cassidy's only entrance is off of Bonnie Bray there, and you know their deliveries
yeah.
off of North Avenue or exiting off of North Avenue. I wouldn't anticipate that to be a problem. We don't necessarily want those delivery trucks running through town for any reason at that point.
I think Yoke at one time had that at the alley. Yeah,
I think they still do. Matt, if you can give me. So this is Clinton, the next block to the west. So this is kind of that partial that you do see a lot in Oak Park, where southbound traffic is effectively the same as that last recommendation at Bonnie Bray. Southbound cannot come south of the alley. But here, northbound vehicles can go through all the way up to North Avenue or to the alley. So this was to kind of let village traffic in the village heading north, everybody can still get out. But southbound cannot continue.
Yeah, kind of. Now, do we see violations of people and kind of?
No, you're talking forest. That's a pork chop. That, well, you'll see it. Well, I don't know, whatever you call it.
Right out only off of forest. Left hand turn.
We do not see those violating at North and Forest. What we do see is more the signs that are up at Franklin and Park. That are no right-hand turn, no left-hand turn. Without the physical barrier there, the engineering applied, those are ignored daily,
yeah.
all day.
All right, Matt, can you give me number four there, please? So here we get into some stop sign changes that were recommended as part of the KLOA study. So you can see, sorry, there's a lot going on here. Starting up at that northwest corner where you've got the green and the red. That's William and Lemoyne. So that's an existing two-way stop. It's being proposed as an all-way stop. And then alternatingly to the east there at Lemoyne and Clinton, to not have everybody stopping every single block, which is something we do hear a lot about at the Traffic and Safety Commission. The recommendation was to remove the east-west stop signs at Lemoyne and Clinton to allow that to be a two-block span. And then as you head south from that intersection to Clinton and Greenfield, because traffic volumes and speed east and west along Greenfield was a concern, the other recommendation was to make that a kind of a two-way and all-way stop so that eastbound, westbound traffic on Greenfield is also stopping at Clinton. So that kind of reverts that stretch back to a two block spans as well. See that last one, Matt, please. 5 here requires no motions. This was just one of their other recommendations, which was to add a striped crosswalk with associated signage at the intersection of Greenfield and Bonnie Bray to the south there. That's the entrance to the baseball field. But when there are events going on there, obviously there's a lot of pedestrian traffic at this intersection. So the idea was to just make that a little bit safer for those pedestrians. So last one, again, no actual official recommendations or motions needed on that. That's just seeking.
No stop signs.
No, there are no stop signs there, and there are none recommended there. Good. This is a local route. If the board wants to kind of increase this recommendation to the flashing stop sign or the flashing crosswalk sign, we certainly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the good news is we own this road, so we can do it when we want to. Some roads we don't own, and it's just like it's almost misery. Okay, so those are the 5 recommendations that the commission that we have before us. So the 5, well,
okay.
The
right, yeah,
walk
we'll
is the 5th one. It doesn't need a,
yeah,
need a motion.
Okay.
That's a great question. I'm gonna let Jeff. That's because you moved the stop sign here.
So I know speed and volumes along Greenfield were certainly considered by KLOA. Again, one of the things that the commission hears a lot is the improvements associated with the safe walking routes to school went in, which included a lot of stop signs village-wide. There were a lot of concerns about people having to stop too much. So one of the measures that the commission has tried to hold is not having people stop at every block, but 2 block spans being considered an appropriate amount of distance before forcing another stop. So with Greenfield being the long span that it was without any stops, the ideal location for implementing a new stop was where it is at, shown at Clinton, because that provides 2 blocks over to Harlem and then 2 blocks west over to Monroe. Thank you. So that was why they selected that location. Again, we could put stop signs at every intersection along the way here if that's what the board elects to do. This was just the group trying to meet that standard that they.
No, she did by Harlem.
On
Greenfield.
Yeah.
Since we'll block off Lemoyne. Going in from Harlem.
Where are they coming from? In your
He's saying, I think northbound off of Harlem, turning left onto Greenfield.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so going,
so
going
go
south.
Go there.
Yeah.
So I'd rather you have more.
Fair enough, but fair enough. I think, we could put stop sign at every street today. But the problem is we just heard everyone roll through the stop sign. So, and we can't have a cop on every stop sign. We can't have a camera because that's not allowed. So how do you slow down traffic?
One of the supplementary recommendations at that second meeting that KLOA made was to look at putting curb bump out at these intersections along Greenfield as a means to kind of slowing down traffic as it approaches those intersections.
And it could try to eliminate stop shoulders in this.
I think that this is specifically the presence fully
vetted. Right.
Vetted at the Traffic and Safety Commission. We received comments from neighbors saying absolutely, if we're not fully cutting off ways to Lemoyne and Greenfield, go down those two streets of Harlem, at Harlem, Greenfield, and Lemoyne aren't blocked off completely.
They are. I would say Lemoyne and Bonnybury are cut off completely.
Not to
Harlem.
Harlem.
Right.
See, this is where we have to be careful. Okay? And so I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, but now we've cut off all the streets, and so now all the traffic in the village will come down Harlem, Lathrop, and Thatcher. And we have residents that live on Harlem, Lathrop, and Thatcher. So that's why the comprehensive study is very important to do. So I think that's why going in today with a temporary measure, modified if we need to with a couple additional stop signs, we got to go a little bit slower and give Jeff and his team a chance to get this comprehensive study done. My question is can the roadways handle it? So that's why we're doing a comprehensive study. So I understand the point you're making. So I totally do. I understand that. Completely understand. I completely understand.
Okay, so we get it. So I think let's talk about that for a minute because it's worth having a conversation. Talk off Greenfield. All of Fenwick people through our town, which is park at Fenwick, because these field and the football field. They're going to go this way because they can't remember that. And so they're going to go down William, guys. They're going to go that way, and they're going to go that way.
They're also going to come around.
Yeah, and then they're going to come around because they can't come in.
Right.
And when Fenwick has a baseball game, which we all know they have quite a bit, that traffic is a lot. Yeah, I call it the pork chop. Bob says no. Okay, that's fine.
What's the other side of the pork
chop?
What
is it? Whatever it is.
Diverter.
Diverter.
Okay. I think that could work. But I know on Greenfield, how does that affect you guys coming in?
Yeah, I think you have to. When I'm looking at the stop sign at what I think about.
Can let Ken finish.
Come on, Lisa. I think about the time it takes to get up to speed. So, when you're coming down Harlem, I don't think you. Even if you accelerate, you don't accelerate till you hit William, and that's when it really gets crazy, I think. So by putting a stop sign at Clinton, I'm not sure it's accomplishing the goal because he's right. I mean, that is a major school.
So the alternative then, Ken, would be to put a stop sign here, too.
Yeah.
So stop.
Well, if you block.
Yeah, so he's what you're saying. So this way, they're going to go this way. Or they're going to go this way and go on North. That is their property. Park in their parking lot. Oh, along this way?
Can I make a comment? Sorry. kind of feels like we're playing a game of whack-a-mole. Every time you close something down, you push it to somewhere else until there's obviously some point of diminishing returns where people give up. I'm not convinced on these baseball games. That's, what, 15 instances a year? You guys are dealing with this stuff Monday through Friday, a few weeks a year. It helps with property values to decrease the traffic from outside residents. I think we should do everything and anything.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. Well, that's what we're trying to get to. You could block this off, but again, it's just going to push the traffic right now.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to say is let's try it out. And
I agree with that.
Name the same traffic. Not cut it off, I think. I like the pork chop. you might be right, you know, and I'm you probably will be right. But Gary, why not? We're I give the Fenwick, you know, small amount of time to change. And believe me, they park along Division Street. Up to Greenfield and they move out, right? They're parking here where we park, Fenwick.
Will there be, do we know, maybe the Traffic and Safety Commission knows, but will there be, because they've now bought the additional land, further ways for them to get off of Division?
That's gonna. So
well,
I think that would be, I mean, it sounds like maybe that might be the additional recommendation we give is that move this to here and then just only right-hand turn.
Move it or add an additional stop sign on Greenfield?
I think you said move it. All the traffic. I think it's a good idea.
Would that last block of Greenleaf before Harlem then become one way the same way Lemoyne?
Right. So same as recommendation number. Not one way though.
It's one way.
Yeah, it would be.
Lemoyne. Well, it has to be one way because you
can't
come in.
Right.
So yeah.
So it would be the same exact thing.
Same exact one. Yeah.
Would be one way that block.
From the
one
alley
way,
to Harlem, not that whole block, just alley to Harlem,
good,
the east half of that block.
That's a good compromise, and it's. A
well, I was going to say,
all you're doing is
No, I don't know. I think we're
until we do the full study.
Yeah.
We will not understand.
But Lisa, we're doing the full study.
I know. But I think what she's saying is that we're doing this just to test it out and see how the traffic reports. But not only from that, but we got to look at everything else beyond. Because I do think that it is going to cause. It's like our parking permits. Remember, we did on one block and then it went on to the next block and two more blocks.
COVID hit and
yeah.
We've got a problem.
Yeah.
And those residents are stuck with.
I shouldn't have reminded people, but you're right. But
we can take that out. We have tried.
I like it, the fact that it's temporary, and I'm not saying we're going to stop it for sure. I'm saying let's try it out to see how it looks. But I do think when we're looking at it, it's not just this corner of River Forest. We're going to have to look to see how it impacts the rest of River Forest, because I do think and GPS. Hey, when I have GPS and they do something in the street or whatever, GPS just reroutes me somewhere else in the village just to get around. So I think this may be a good thing for now, but I don't know if it's going to, how it's going to affect River Forest, the rest of it. So I agree with Bob. And well, I think we all agree. We're still going to look at it comprehensively.
Yeah. Studies going on. Yeah. Equal time for you.
Right.
Totally agree with you. Here's the issue that we just talked about, right? So it's pushing it. So you close William and goes to Monroe. Well, we don't know, and that's why we want to make it temporary, so we look at how the traffic flow works. So I'm with you. I live right by you guys.
Yeah.
But I could tell you, we could say that, okay, Black off William, then Monroe folks would be here tomorrow. Black off Monroe, and then black off Jackson,
and they
so
have kids
it goes
too.
On. And we agree it should all be looked at, and that's what the comprehensive plan will look at. So meanwhile, though, I want to make sure you're clear. That's why we want to try to slow traffic down if it's going to be increased. Okay. So anyway, I think bring it all together here. In addition to the motion that's on the table. Sounds like we could all, we might agree, we could sense that move these two stop signs to William, use the only right
diverting
four-way stop.
Just because this is one way out.
Yeah, diverting.
And so there's no traffic going to him. Well, there will be coming from
diverting.
Coming from Clinton, so they stop.
Yes, right, diverting.
So I was just going to say, like again, this whole thing of whack-a-mole, great words. Like, I want to make sure that we also basically give, and I'm going to, like, kind of, in full disclosure, my husband's on the Traffic and Safety Commission. I know a lot about this, actually, because of that. We've had a lot of conversations. My understanding was that they did not finish conversations about Greenfield and William, and we should finish those conversations. But then to your point, if the next time it's going to be Monroe, the next time it's going to be whatever, we have volunteers that are working really hard to make this work, and I want to make sure those volunteers don't get discouraged. If every time, and I'm not saying anybody here in this room is doing this, a resident doesn't get their way, they can, you know, kind of say, well, I'm going to go to mom, and they're going to give me what I want. Like, I just want to make sure that we're, like, following the process and allowing for that enough time for that process to happen. And if that means we're not ready to put something in front of the board, and we need to have another conversation to really talk about it, we should do that. I don't even mean the comprehensive study. I think that we could have benefited from another Traffic and Safety Commission meeting before this was put here.
The other part of it is we have no budgeted funds to do this.
Okay, No,
I want to clarify.
We do. I made a mistake. We have budgeted. We are going
to do
for the study.
Can I
finish what I was going to say? We have money to do the comprehensive study. We don't have money to implement all of the things that
that's
are going to come out of that study. That's what I was
going to
say.
Yeah, because it's always going to go through the traffic.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. It's not going to be something we do, overnight. I agree. But yes, we're actually going to have the comprehensive study come to the board next meeting. We're going to pick the vendor that will do the plan.
Okay.
So, all right, so, sorry. So, Bobby, I didn't mean to interrupt that. But, I just want to make sure we're clear. We are going to move forward on the comprehensive plan study, and it's going to be in. So, that's all important. I think, it's not at all. I think, by the way, the traffic study, they've spent enormous amount of time in it. That just tells you how much time it takes.
Okay, do we need to amend one of these motions?
Yeah, there's
to add the diverter.
Do we add it or amend it?
Yeah, there's one to amend and one to add.
Okay.
So I'll read the one to amend and the one to add.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Greg will correct me if we went over it together, but I'm sure we have it here. So motion 4 is the one that gets amended. Motion to approve an ordinance to convert the two-way stop at the intersection of William Street and Lemoyne Street and the two-way stop at William and Greenfield Street to all-way stop intersections and modify the all-way stop at Clinton Place, Lemoyne Street, such that only the north-south legs of the intersection are required to stop.
I accept the amendment.
Okay, the new motion that gets added to the omnibus motion is motion to approve ordinances restricting traffic on Greenfield Street to one-way eastbound between the alley and Harlem Avenue to install a right-out-only curb diverter and install all accompanying signage as proposed. Well, all of them are the.
Why would you think it's.
Well, the recommendation in the packet says numbers 1, 2, and 3 are on a temporary basis. It doesn't say that the fourth motion. Just to clarify.
Yes.
And then the new one on Greenfield would be on a temporary basis.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. That would be under the fourth, what was the fourth motion, I think it's, but that's not temporary. I think that we'll get some good information out of this, and we can implement it quickly and relatively inexpensively, which should help the residents.
I think something. I really applaud the traffic safety commission. So, okay. Is there any further discussion by the? Then I'd ask.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Great. Okay, so now we're moving on to 9A, which is the approval of the contract of Nova Collective. If I can get a motion and a second for that approval.
Motion to enter, to approve a contract with Nova LLC for $50,000 and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract.
Second.
I'll talk about it, or is there anything?
Happy to give a quick summary just for posterity's sake. In April of 2021, the village board and village president created an ad hoc advisory group by resolution. One of the responsibilities of that advisory group was to assist in the development of an RFP so that a consultant could be hired to take a look at the organizational impact, the organizational. In July of 2022, the RFP was issued. 16 proposals were received internationally, I might add. We had firms from Canada and all across the United States propose and make proposals. The three co-chairs, myself, Trustees Johnson and Trustee Bachner, interviewed seven of those firms. After interviewing those seven firms, it was very clear that Nova Collective was the preferred vendor to be able to provide these services. Nova was then presented to the DEI advisory group in September. And for those that were in attendance, we did not have a quorum at that meeting, but for those that were in attendance, there was overall positive support for moving forward with Nova Collective. Contract has been entered and been negotiated after to make sure we hit on all of the strategic operating objectives that were outlined in the RFP. And
so I reached out to Brian this afternoon and I asked for some information on the company, and so I got the information on the company. The one thing that was not in there that I thought felt short, and maybe you guys can add some texture to it, is who else have they done work with? I mean, it talked about their resumes, and the resumes were very impressive, but who else have they done work with that we might, you know, reach out to and understand better, you know, the work and the quality of the work? And maybe you guys have done that legwork, so I'd be interested to hear that.
So the very locally, they did work with the Oak Park River Forest Community Foundation and the Thriving Communities Initiative that they have going on with that organization. So actually quite a lot of the base data that we would already need has been acquired by them, and they are currently presenting the results of the Thriving Communities report card across the area. They had a meeting that was scheduled in September, but I'm going to look to Erica because it had to be rescheduled.
Yeah, it had to be rescheduled. They have, based off of this quite critical report that they did for the River Forest Community Foundation, who is looking, I mean, Kathy could talk to it, but who is looking to understand how they can better do philanthropy in the western suburbs, put together a report around where is the most need, and what our western suburbs look like today based on many different metrics. And it is information that they, from what I understand, the Oak Park Community Foundation is sharing freely with all municipalities and people and nonprofits so that they can use themselves as well. It was an important study. And I do think that we are lucky to have Nova Collective as a bidder here. And besides that, they are in the Oak Park River Forest area. They know the area well. Besides that, they work with five blue chip companies across the nation and municipalities and nonprofits. They have a deep bench of consultants and people that they know around numerous areas and topics and issues, so that if something were to come up in River Forest that we just had gaps of information in, they could bring in, and they have said that they will bring in somebody to help that if for some reason. I think that, I don't know if you want to go ahead.
Sure. I think one of the things that we'll say not necessarily differentiated, but the their experience in the area was bar none better than anyone else. Obviously, like Brian mentioned, we've had proposals from all over the country, and you know, some of the questions and answers we received didn't necessarily relate to River Forest. And you know, in working with the committee, their main concern was making sure that if we hire someone, they would be River Forest specific. And so, you know, with that in mind and making sure, you know, some of the factors that we did look at was how deep was your bench? Are you a one-person shop or mom and pop shop? Or have you done this before? Have you worked with municipalities before? So those were a lot of the critical questions that we asked amongst all of the candidates. And Nova stood out far and beyond the best. And then we put them in front of, you know, the committee, which is sometimes not easy, but we did in front of the committee. And the committee liked them just as much as well. And actually, we have a committee member here as well. And so some of the things that differentiated them were their experience in the area, their experience with municipalities, their ability to basically provide us information that we know we're going to need, they already have, versus need to spend money researching it. And, you know, so obviously cost was also a factor, and that helped us to get there quicker.
The last thing I would add to it is their track record in doing internal organizational assessments was very important. We wanted to make sure we accomplished it. It really has to do with proving and showing where we can improve as an organization and toward our employees and toward our vendors. Their empirical approach toward how they are handling that through the surveys that they intend on doing, the outreach that they plan on doing, and the like with the employees was very comprehensive and rather robust and complete.
Yeah, and just as Eric has mentioned, the Community Foundation hired them, and the work product was.
Everyone should have a copy.
Yeah,
everyone should read.
I'm surprised we don't. We should do. Yeah, Elizabeth and Community Foundation.
Mm-hmm. And I just want, this is more of a comment than anything, in the future, when we are looking at contracts, is there a way to get a summary of like criteria used to select a vendor and like, you know, and maybe a brief overview of, you know, kind of the reason why, other than
I'll send you out an
article. You know, just in general. I'm not saying for this particular thing, just on a going forward basis. It just might be helpful for the trustees to have just more information on the criteria used to select the vendor. And I don't know if there's even a short scorecard that can be done or something that just gives us a little bit more than, you know, we like them.
Yeah, absolutely, Lisa. Mm-hmm. I mean, in fact, you do that.
We do that. We do that quite a bit. We tend to keep those as internal work product for a variety of reasons. But we actually have been working with Greg's office. There are some new requirements regard to EI disclosure that we're already implementing and doing. So I think there are some additional details that, as we're presenting our reports.
When we do a major contract of at some level, you just want like a summary page of what was in the RFP and how they.
And the matrix like of how,
yeah.
How we're going to score.
And all the contracts that was kind of what I was looking for. And, you know,
I think we should be clear, though, when not with regard to this contract, but for that information, it has to be standardized. If you're going to be universal, then you have to do it for all the contracts.
Right.
And so,
but that's just
not be
saying.
Careful what you ask.
That's what she's saying.
I know. What I'm saying is not to be careful what you ask for, but
Yeah.
Let's be clear. Is there a number? Is it or a $10,000 contract you want this? So we, I'm just saying we should have our parameters in play. I'm not talking about this specific contract. General.
Okay. Yeah, so, which is a great, so what happens typically, the process is we have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask the staff to send out an RFP and on criteria that was chosen by hopefully staff or committee. And then they send it out. We get and that's based on criteria. And of course, did they meet or under the, you know, come within the budget item? And if they didn't, then there's a way that I think you guys come back to us and say, here, this is a better play, a little bit more money, but better.
So who you're saying that the criteria is developed by whoever
by the
developed
staff.
The criteria?
Yeah.
And
in
now,
your case, the criteria was somewhat developed by the staff,
right.
And then your
case. Yeah, but I'm saying, are we saying going forward, now I need to see the criteria that
well,
you developed before I make
I mean,
a decision?
I
That's
said
what I'm
do
saying.
A summary. I don't. If you do, then
so,
you.
I'm like saying.
Yeah. No. No, I hear. I'm
yeah.
just applying it to snow removal. I mean, you can.
Right, right.
That's
Brian,
my
it
yeah,
sounds
exactly.
like you're already working on that.
Ken is absolutely right.
We already have a lot of that in place, and there was within this RFP, there were criteria for snow.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
So we'll figure out a summary page.
Because Brian has the authority to sign. I mean, he comes to the board with it, like $10,000, right?
20.
Yeah. 20. So, I mean, I think to what you're looking for is maybe there's a benchmark of, you know, anything he can't sign or 20%
mm-hmm.
above or whatever. But, I mean, just to have some kind of criteria.
Right.
Well, and just so you know, there is a criteria. I think
right.
what you're asking for is to
right.
to summarize it.
Right.
Or we can give you the RFP. You guys can look at the RFP and then we can. No, right. To
right.
summarize it in a, you know, kind of inside that packet
right.
when we present a contract.
Right.
Here's the
Correct.
Criteria that we used in the RFP and
yep.
how they're scoring one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah I mean,
okay.
summarize it, I think, is a good idea.
Okay.
Okay. Any other further questions or comments?
No.
Trustee
Hello.
Gillis.
Yes.
Faulkner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Wow.
Trustee Brennan.
You want to hear the criteria
Trustee
first.
Yeah, yeah,
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Great. Well,
okay.
good luck. We're excited to hear some of the
yeah.
results from their work.
Okay.
okay. So I think
All
I
right.
want to just say I do want to thank the DEI advisory group and specifically the committee, the RFP
yep.
committee. Stacey Austin, who's here tonight, who was integral to writing the RFP, and yeah, the work is just
yeah,
so very good. Thank you.
Okay,
All
very
right.
good. All right, so that ends our open meeting. We will go into an executive.
Okay,
session.
So I move to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILSC 120 / 2C1. To discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the village, and under 5 ALC S120 /2C6 to discuss the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the village, and the village board meeting will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
Second.
You need water?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
That never has happened.
Yeah. Or
need to vote on the motion.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.